And now we turn to COVID vaccine rollout in Wisconsin. Teachers, childcare workers, grocery store employees, group home residents are among the next wave of people eligible for a vaccine beginning March 1st. But that date, it's a moving target based on the federal allotment. According to DHS, Department of Health Services, Wisconsin has roughly 1,300 authorized vaccine providers statewide. Have you been vaccinated? What was it like to get an appointment? Share your experience, what you need to know, 800-642-1234. Julie Wilms-Van Dyke is Deputy Secretary of DHS. Deputy Secretary Wilms-Van Dyke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Great to be with you this morning.
Explain where we are at. How many Wisconsinites are eligible right now to receive vaccines? And at this point, how many have?
Well, we have a number of groups, as you have recognized here, that are currently eligible for vaccine. And if you look at all of those groups put together, it's about 2 million people. And as of yesterday, we had vaccinated 362,803. So that's a lot more people than we had on December 14th when we gave our first vaccine, but still a lot of people in the currently eligible groups that we need more vaccine for. And of course, we are eager as anybody to get to opening up vaccine for everybody, but it is completely dependent on that supply.
Okay, so before we talk about the tier that is known as 1B, let's look at the 1A group, the first people to get vaccinated. Where are you at with completing the 1A phase?
So 1A, again, is those frontline healthcare workers, long-term care residents and staff, EMS workers, police and fire. And we're probably about halfway to maybe getting close to two-thirds of the way through that group.
When you look at this 1B tier group, who is in this group and who is not in this group?
So we started 1B a bit early with people age 65 and older. Just a reminder, that is the group that is most at risk for COVID disease and severe sequelae of COVID disease. Over 92% of the deaths in our state have been in that population. In addition, we've added educators, and that includes everyone from early childhood and daycare providers through K-12 staff through faculty and staff who have direct contact with students in our higher education system. We've added individuals enrolled in Medicaid long-term care programs. We've added a whole group of public-facing essential workers. This includes critical workers like 911 operators, our utility and communications infrastructure, public transit infrastructure, everyone along our food supply chain, so from farmers to food processors to grocery store workers and people who work in hunger relief programs, and then non-frontline healthcare personnel, the people who keep our healthcare system going, like cleaning people and IT people and people who contribute to the supply chain. And then finally, people in congregate living settings, where we also know spread of the disease is spreads like wildfire and are at risk.
Yeah, there is tension around whether prison inmates should be next in line here. Why are people who are incarcerated in the 1B group?
So when we look at congregate living settings, prisons are one of the most clear congregate living settings. It's a place where it's very difficult to isolate and quarantine people because of the setup in prisons. We know there has been extensive spread of the disease in prisons. And so the committee, as they looked at congregate settings, said the principles that lead you to saying congregate settings should be included because of the risk of disease are clearly present in prisons. I think the other thing to remember is prisons are part of your community, and it's not like the disease stops at the prison walls. When an outbreak happens in a prison, it spreads to the people who work there, who take it home, and it spreads to others in the community. community. So protecting people in prison is also protecting people in the community.
We've been hearing this week from Wisconsinites who are just getting busy signals, can't get through to get an appointment, especially seniors. What do you tell people who can't get through to get an appointment?
So what I think is really important for people to hear is we just added, when we added seniors, that's a group of over 700,000 people, and we're receiving about 70,000 first doses of vaccine a week. So when you do the math there, that would say just doing the seniors is going to take us 10 weeks to get through this process. It's not because we want you to wait or be on that phone with that busy signal. It's just because that's how much vaccine there is coming into our state from the federal government. So patience, if you have skills on the internet or have family who have skills on the internet, many of our healthcare systems have set up systems for waiting lists. Many of our healthcare systems are also saying we'll reach out to you. They know who folks are in their older adult population and are using different mechanisms to set appointment times and reaching out to their patients. You will get there. It just might take a little bit of time.
Let's bring in Meg now in Appleton. Hi, Meg. What is your circumstance?
I have a son who is in a group home, and he is among the most vulnerable, and there are many people who are in group homes and nursing homes that have not been vaccinated. And I know they have a partnership with the state health department, has a partnership with Walgreens and CVS. It's obviously not working because so many of the people who are the most vulnerable are not getting their vaccines, and it is a shame, and it borders on criminal. It is discriminatory.
Deputy Secretary, Meg, thank you. Deputy Secretary, where is the breakdown there? What can you say?
So the partnership with CVS and Walgreens began with skilled nursing facilities, and those are what we commonly call nursing homes. And that portion of the program has been completed. The portion of the program that Meg is referring to, which is assisted living facilities, which are group homes and community-based residential facilities, many of our memory care centers across the state are in that category, and as Meg says, group homes for other people who need care. That program started last week. This, again, is about vaccine supply. So those facilities are in process with CVS and Walgreens. There were 380 nursing homes. There are over 4,300 group homes or assisted living facilities. And so a lot more places to get to. CVS and Walgreens have also asked for assistance. And so we are beginning to also assign some of those facilities to pharmacies and to local health departments across the state. And we are moving into that portion of vaccination as we speak.
Scaling up very quickly, discussing COVID vaccine rollout in Wisconsin with DHS Deputy Secretary Julie Wilms Van Dyke. Are you eligible for the COVID vaccine? Do you know where to get it? What do you want to ask the DHS Deputy Secretary? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with DHS Deputy Secretary Julie Wilms Van Dyke. We're discussing the phases of giving out COVID vaccines and the allotment from the federal government. More than 362,000 vaccines have been administered in Wisconsin, and the DHS Deputy Secretary is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to Tim now in Eau Claire with a question. Hi, Tim.
Hello. I'm a frontline worker with multiple rheumatological issues and a heart attack survivor, but I do not fit into the over 65 group. I do go into people's homes to fix television and the internet as an over 60, you know, that many of those customers are over 65. I'm wondering if you had an educated guess as to which part of the rollout I might be in.
Tim, thanks. Deputy Secretary.
So utility and communications infrastructure workers, including internet and telecommunications workers, will be part of the new group that we just approved, Tim. So based on what you said, it sounds like you're part of that group. We that new group is estimated to begin around March 1st. We're not starting it right now because of the issues around vaccine supply that I just recommended. And if we had everyone in that group start now, the waiting time on the phone lines and the time for vaccine appointments would be even longer. But my estimate is around March 1st, again, dependent on vaccine supply from the federal government. We're hopeful that will increase. We're hopeful that perhaps a new vaccine will be approved in the next month or so, which will obviously increase supply. And so if those things happen, it could be a little earlier. If vaccine supply slows, it could be a little later.
Let's bring in Alan now in Madison. Hi, Alan. Go ahead.
So I appreciate that a lot of work has gone into distributing the vaccine in Wisconsin and other states. But it seems like a lot of the conversation has focused on the limitations of supply from the federal government. But I did just want to ask, from the statistics I can find, about 600,000 vaccine doses have been distributed to the state, but only a little over half of those have actually been, distributed or injected into arms, administered. And so, you know, what are some of the factors that have led to that number being relatively low? We rank 34th out of the 50 states. And what are some of the plans to try to get that number higher?
That's a great question. So part of the answer to that is the vaccines that are wrapped up in the pharmacy program for long-term care, as I said. And one of the things that we're doing is working very closely with CVS and Walgreens to see actually how many of those vaccines do they actually need. And if they don't need all of them, can we pull some of them back and get them into our local system here in Wisconsin to vaccinate? A second thing we're doing is working closely with our providers around making sure that they're getting vaccine in arms, that they're not sitting on stockpiles of vaccine. I don't think that's the case in many situations, but one of the reasons we expanded to the 65-plus group was to make sure that there was a big enough population for any vaccinator to be vaccinating. What we saw a few weeks ago is some of our vaccinators were saying, we've got vaccine, but we've taken care of all the frontline healthcare workers in our community, and we don't know who else to vaccinate. So the decision to add a big group like people who are 65 plus is also in service to getting our vaccine moving even faster. The last thing I would say is, at any given time, when you look at those numbers, there is a whole bunch of vaccine that is actually in the process of moving and in transit. And so from the time we order it and it gets to the vaccinator and gets in someone's arms, that's about a 7 to 10 day process. So that's where you'll also see some of that difference between numbers allocated, ordered, and in arms.
Alan, thank you for those questions. We have roughly 1,300 authorized vaccinators. Do we need more?
Well, I think we're in really good shape, and we welcome more as we move forward. One of the reasons we have far more vaccinators than most other states. Many other states have chosen to primarily deliver vaccine through big mega community vaccination clinics. And we do plan to expand the use of that kind of community-based vaccination clinic as vaccine supply increases. But while vaccine supply is still fairly limited, we think people seek vaccine through their normal mechanisms, like they get a flu vaccine, through their local physician, through their local pharmacy, through their local health department, or through their employer. And so that's who our 1,300 vaccinators are. and we want to build on a really good healthcare and delivery system we have in Wisconsin. And we think those 1,300 actually, as of yesterday, up to 1,500 vaccinators will serve us very well.
We're talking with Julie Willems-Van Dyke, telling us about the COVID vaccine rollout in our state. She's Deputy Secretary of DHS. Let's bring in Susan now in Racine. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. Two questions. My first one is, the federal guidelines include in people under 65 who are high risk with the over 65 group, but the Wisconsin Human Services, when they chose their guideline, did not include the high-risk individuals under 64. I wondered why that was, if my information is correct, of course. And my second question is, do we know how long these vaccinations last in terms of how long they'll protect you? Thanks.
Susan, thank you. And we have less than a minute. Go ahead.
All right. We definitely want to get to people under 65 with higher risk conditions. But the factors that we used really focused on who is at highest risk of both exposure and mortality or death related to the disease. And that's why the populations we've chosen have been selected. And in terms of how long the vaccines will last, we will have to study that and follow that as we go. It is possible down the road we'll need boosters for COVID-19 vaccines or even an annual vaccine similar to flu vaccine. But that is something yet to be determined as we continue to study this and follow this.
Do you expect supply to improve from the federal government? And if so, when?
I expect it to improve. When is a big question. And I suspect that without the addition of a new vaccine, it's going to be later this spring, early summer.
Deputy Secretary, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Julie Willems-Van Dyke, Deputy Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Just ahead, we get a closer look at the women who are making waves in Congress. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.